Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, blessings and greetings, blessed souls. This is Dunzel C. Goodman, and we're live because we want to stay alive and thrive in Toret Chaim, divine instructions of life, Toret Chesed, divine instructions of kindness, and Toret Rachamim, divine instructions of mercies. You're turning into Soul Class number 5, broadcasting here from Kesekron Heights on the second day of the Hebrew month Elul, 5,770 years blazing and grazing into the creation, corresponding to the English calendar date, August 11th, 2010. And this will be part 2 of me going into a classic letter, actually, which has been printed in many different forms, many different languages, I would assume, aside from the Hebrew and the English, perhaps in Ladino, perhaps in Arabic, perhaps in several other languages. But the essential point of the Egeret HaRambam, the letter by the Rambam that he wrote to his son, the Ramban, is an acronym for Rabbi Moshe Ben Nachman, was that we should humble ourselves. And what would be the point of humbling ourselves? That humbling does not necessarily being meek, blessed souls, but becoming appreciative and more aware consciously every second that we live and breathe the breath of life, and then try to carry on with our living conditions without war and strife. Now, the Ramban brought out, as we mentioned last night, the whole idea of the quality of humility interacting with the human heart. And when humility comes in, what happens is the fear of God starts to intensify within the human heart. So the key to fear of the Most High is to the trait of humility. So we might ask, so why do we have to fear? Because we do know, blessed souls, that there are forms of healthy fear in our existence, and there are unhealthy forms of fear in our human existence. When fear of another human being is to the extent one's consciousness becomes constricted, and they sort of cower before that other person, without any reason other than the fact that they fear them, without any justifiable reason, we would say that that person has some issues that have to be rectified. Hopefully someone will intervene to assist that person to overcome that fear of another person. On the other hand, if the person who one fears is because the person one fears has done something in the past to the person who fears him or to other people, and the reputation of this person is that he should be feared, say he's a bully, he likes to insult people, he's a very quick tongue. So another might fear him in a semi-justifiable way, but there also could be a way of judging how one can avoid that type of fear by immersing one's heart and mind, blessed heart and mind, into the fear of the Most High. And what would that, there could be a couple reasons why a person would want to have fear of the Most High. At a lower level, that one doesn't want to transgress what is expected of one of oneself by the Most High. Another one, one feels a sense of, so to speak, embarrassment, we might say, that one is standing constantly before the Creator of all creation, and one knows, intrinsic in her, his or her blessed heart, that there's more they can be doing to improve the creation, yet they sort of, you know, waste away their time with more superficial things. I'm not talking about the daily needs of human existence, eating and drinking and taking care of bodily needs, making money and providing one's family, having healthy human relationships. No, that stuff is needed. However, after all that is said and done, usually, if we're very honest with ourselves, there's time to watch a ball game, there's times to go to a concert, there's time to play a board game, and I'm not saying one should stop all these things, but that one should start to consider how do I strengthen the relationship between myself and the Most High? And then one can find, even when the mundane acts of one's life, a way of integrating love and fear. Now, we're really not going to talk about love of the Most High tonight. That could be for another program. But fear is basically, on a level that I hope we all can relate to, the idea of not wanting to break the connection. Just like when you have a relationship with someone that you truly love, you fear not breaking the connection because you know how good it is to be connected with that person. And therefore, you want to work in a way that there's a bond. And if there's a difference, the bond that has been formed is greater than anything that, so to speak, can be served as a catalyst to tear at the bond. Now, where we left off last night with the Ramban, Moshe ben Nachman, quoted two verses which I didn't have a chance to elaborate on because we were running out of time, so hopefully we have a little more time right now to talk about these things. The first thing is, a person starts to develop a sense of humility which reminds one that one day will be standing before a certain judgment, before the King of all kings. And of his it is written, behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. And that is actually from Kings, number 1, Kings book 1, chapter 8, verse 27. And surely not the hearts of men. So when we realize that as much as we can understand and love, and as we mentioned just before, fear the Most High, if the heavens and earth cannot contain, which is alluding to total consciousness of him, surely not our hearts. But at the same time, too, the Ramban went on to say, what would seem to be a paradox, and hopefully we can explain away the paradox. The Ramban writes, furthermore, it said, quote, do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Most High. And that is prophecy from the prophet Jeremiah, Navi Yirmiyahu, in chapter 3, 24. So what's going on here, blessed souls? On the one hand, we're saying the heaven of heavens can't contain you, being the Most High, truly at the heavens of earth. But then it says, as the prophet Jeremiah brings out and proclaims into the creation, in a rhetorical sense, the Most High says, do I not fill the heavens and the earth? So we see, blessed souls, that from the perspective of the creation, which has a certain limitation, that limitation being that there is no one creator except the Creator, and everything else outside of the Creator, so to speak, is limited, and therefore that which is limited cannot possibly contain the entirety of that which is unlimited and infinite. But at the same time, too, the Most High, in His mercies, fills the heaven and earth as declared most assertively by the prophet Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So let's go further into these teaching by the Ramban, how we can ratchet up the humility and turn down the anger. So I'll read a little bit in Hebrew, translate it, and we can hopefully vibe out a little more. And close, if anyone's listening in right now, there is a call-in number at 1-347-838-8669. That's 1-347-838-8669. Let's go a little further. V'ka'asher tachshov et kol ele, tira miborecha v'tishmor min hachet uv'midot ha'ele tiyye sumek v'chelkecho. V'ka'asher tisnaheg b'midot ha'anava v'zboshesh mikol adam v'zpached mimenu u'minachet az tishra v'az Tishra alecha ruach hashchina v'ziv kvoda v'chay olam haba. Ram translating this out, blessed souls, when you start to give very serious thought, start to meditate on the wonder of what was mentioned above, nothing can contain him, the Most High, yet he fills heaven and earth, you'll stand in awe of your Creator, meaning whether you're standing, sitting, reclining, blessed souls, right there is the Most High. And once you start to develop that sense of humility in the heart, and fear of the Most High, and a sense of awe. You will indeed be happy with who you are, because you realize you're not an isolated being, distinctly created from any other being in the creation, and therefore, how can you bind up with anyone else? I mean, perhaps, you know, allegorical level, you know, maybe it would be better if all of us looked like Coca-Cola bottles being produced in one Coca-Cola plant. But that wasn't the Creator's intent, blessed souls. In fact, there's a teaching from the oral tradition of Israel that when you go into a mint factory and you have a specific mold to make a penny, you have a specific mold to make a nickel, you have a specific mold to make a dime, you have a specific mold to make a quarter. But that is not the way of the Creator, the Most High, the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the Infinite One, blessed be He. By the Most High, His way is that I take one original man and woman, the handiworks of His hand, formed in kindness and mercy and love, and from them emanates out all the human family covering the four corners of the globe, the seven continents, spanning over the oceans, and some of them we go into the ocean, and we all come from one original set of parents, Adam HaRishon uChava, original man and his wife, otherwise known as Adam and Eve. Now, it's not just enough, blessed souls, as the Ramban continued to say, when you internalize humility, when you internalize awe, when you internalize now a desire to not get angry, then your actions get supercharged with a new type of energy, and your actions will reflect a real humility within yourself as you stand meekly before men. Meaning, again, we mentioned before, humility doesn't mean meekness, but meek in the sense of you don't self-aggrandize yourself before another person. You don't seem to put down another person, but you realize as you stand before any person or sit before any person, whether it be man, whether it be woman, whether it be child, or whether it be elderly person, that there's something that they possess that you don't have. There's some virtue that they have. That they have that you don't have. And there's some weakness that you might possess that they don't possess. So you're humbled and you become meek. Again, not subservient, but meek. But not only that, because you are conducting yourself in a meek fashion with other dwellers of clay, as I like to call the human race, because we all originally come from the earth, which can consist of clay as well as dirt, you start to become more fearful before the Most High, again, in the healthy sense, because if you're standing meekly before a human being, and you don't want to hurt them, and you don't want to take advantage of them, and you want them to walk away after meeting you, even for a second, 5 minutes, an hour, whatever the 11th of that interaction may be, you want them to feel better after seeing you and after hearing your speech or even a gesture, whether it be with your hands or facial reaction. They want to feel better. And why is this happening? Because you fear before the Most High to do what is wrong, which is to slight one of His creations. Because if we go, blessed souls, into a teaching, the oral tradition of Pirkei Avot, the ethics of our sages, of our fathers. Because in Torah, when you teach someone something of divine instruction, although you might never have seen that person before, and you might not see that person again, and you don't have any connection from a family point of view, but yet you teach them Torah, divine instruction, you're like a parent. Because what does a parent do? He or she, as parent, nurtures child. So we're here to nurture each other. So when you become meek before another person, appreciating their virtues and being quite aware of your lackings, and you do this out of a sense of fear of the Most High, then what happens is you can become privy to something which is known as Ruach HaShechinah, the Spirit of the Divine Presence, which will rest upon you, as will the splendor of the Most High's glory upon you in the life of the world to come. And the life of the world to come, blessed souls, can only be accessed by the great resurrection that will come in the appointed time. Now, it might seem a little bit new to some of you that here I am as a Jewish Hebrew Israelite brother, although from a different father and mother, but yet from the same Father in heaven, the Most High, I'm talking about resurrection. Most people associate, from what I understand and what I when I talk with people, most people associate the resurrection as a Christian concept. Or perhaps there was a theology beforehand that existed before. I'm not aware of it. Although the seven Noahide commandments, and themselves being commandments which mirror seven commandments, six negative commands, and one positive command that were given to us Israel at Mount Sinai, there are also oral traditions intrinsically bound up within those traditions of not to blaspheme the name of the Most High, not to commit idolatry, acts of idolatry, not to murder, not to commit acts of adultery, not to steal, not to eat the limb of an animal while it's still alive, and also to try to avoid unnecessary cruelty to animals. And seven, to establish court systems, law systems, that society should be righteous, run by righteous people. And one of the righteous acts of any society should be acts of tzedakah, acts of charity, and acts of loving kindness. So, you see, blessed souls, that there is a tradition within Israel, as reflected now in this letter by Ramban, Rabbi Moshe Ben Nachman, that if one puts aside basically one's ego and one's anger and acts in a way which is humble and meek, again, meek does not mean subservient, but recognizing another person's virtues and contrasting it to one's lackings, and admiring that other person, in other words, and becoming more fearful, Most High, to not transgress in that interaction between person to person, and becoming more aware of avoiding sin. Again, one can get Ruach HaShechinah, the Spirit of the Divine Presence, which will accompany you into the life of the world to come after the Great Resurrection. So continuing on the letter, blessed souls, and again, we've got 11 minutes in the program, if anyone wants to call in, at 1-347-838-8669. That's 1-347-838-8669. Let's go further into letter blessed souls. Vata b'ni da ore'e ki hamizgaya b'libo al habriot mored hu b'malchut shamayim ki mitpa'er hu b'levush malchut shamayim sh'ne'emar Hashem malo ke'us lovesh, etc. And the Ramban continued in that letter to his son. And now my son, understand clearly that when a person becomes too prideful in their heart towards other people, as opposed to being meek, is actually going to now be in the category of rebelling against the sovereignty, the order of heaven. For what's happening is he's trying to glorify himself in the robes of the Most High, for it was written in Psalms 93:1, the Most High reigns, he dons the mantle of grandeur. So, grandeur, or geyut, as we would say in Hebrew, is really an attribute associated with the Most High, who is the source of all attributes, whether they be emotional attributes, or intellectual attributes, or delight, attributes of delight, attributes of desire, all rooted in the Most High, and so to speak, chained down to what we call in the Hasidic and Kabbalistic literature as Seder Hishtalshalut, the order of the chaining down of the world, the order down of the chaining down of all cause and effect experiences, whether in the pristine spiritual level, where spiritual starts to morph into physical, and where physical continues to receive from spiritual. So the Ramban continues to instruct his son, and at this point we're also to speak the sons and daughters of the Ramban, if we're tuning in to this instruction. For indeed, of what should man be prideful if he has a lot of money? I wish anyone here has a lot of money, that they can do lots of acts of righteousness in society, and they gained it in the proper way. It wasn't stolen money. It wasn't money because they oppressed another person or a country, for that matter, or a civilization. So if a person has wealth, a person has to acknowledge the Most High made him wealthy. And if a person has an honorable position in society, or because of his scholarly talents or well-developed intellectual or emotional attributes, the honor does not belong to the person. If he is truly humble, all honor belongs to the Most High. As it is written, wealth and honor come from you. And this was written in Chronicles, number 1, chapter 9, verse 12. So how can one glorify himself with the honor of his Maker? Does a person think that he can sit in the place of the Most High? So if a person takes pride in his wisdom, let him understand that the Most High can remove the speech of the most competent and even take away the wisdom which has been earned over a lifetime from the aged. And that teaching is from the book of Job, Iyuv, in chapter 12, verse 20. Now, here's something that we find a teaching from Torah which ties into a modern type of outlook, which actually permeates into the tradition that have been accepted and brought down as the ways of, say, the country of America. And the following, and this is what it means. The Nimsa Hakol Shove Lifne Amokom Keep Apo Mashpil Geim Ritzona Magbir Shefalim Lechen Hashpil Atzmecha V'Nisacha Amokom. Therefore all men are actually equal before the Creator. All men were created equal. Wasn't that written in the early documents of the new American country? But so this is a writing over 800 years ago. So we see that one of the things that I think is very alluring for people living in this country, and whereby where a person is not getting equal rights in this country, it is considered to be horrible, abominable, and an affront of not only the freedom of the person whose freedom is being taken away from them, but an affront on the freedom of all of us. Because here we have a Torah dictum: all men stand as equals before the Creator. And the Ramban continues, in his fury he cast down the lofty, in his goodwill he elevates the downtrodden. Therefore humble yourself, for the Almighty will lift you. Now, going further, Al-Kain, Aforesh Lecha Ech Tisnaheg B'midas Ha'nava Leleches Batomid Kod Verecha Yu Banachat Veroshcha Kafuf Venecha Yabitu Lamata La'aretz.
ולבך למעלה, ואל תעביד בפני אדם בדברך, בדברך עמו, אמו, excuse me, וכל אדם יהיה גדול ממך בעיניך, אם חכם או אשהו, הולך לכבדו. So here now the Rambam is advocating to his son, and therefore all human beings, that a person should continually accustom himself to the quality of humility and walk with its ways. Let your words be spoken gently. Let your head be bowed. Cast your eyes downward and your heart heavenward. Now, notice that he didn't say bend over your back either way. Walk up straight. But keep your eyes downward. Now, of course, if you're in a crowded subway system, like sometimes I travel in, you got to keep your eyes up. But whenever you can, avoid eye contact. Not because of lack of self-esteem, because some people I know from studying a course, which I took several years ago, 9 years ago, and I mentioned, I think, in last night's class, therapeutic crisis intervention, that eye-to-eye interaction is actually quite stimulating. And can overstimulate the person who is perceiving another person is staring at them. So the Ramban continues to cast your eyes downward and your heart heavenly. And when speaking, do not stare at your listener. Of course, don't look in the other direction. Let all men seem greater than you in your eyes. If another is more wise or wealthy than yourself, you must show him respect. But it doesn't mean bow down to them. And it doesn't mean become a false friend. On the other hand, if the person you're interacting with is poor and you are richer or wiser than he, consider that he may be more righteous than you. And if he sinned, it was the result of he or she making a mistake, while your sin was deliberate. Finally, blessed souls, we're running out of time here. We'll try to get this last point in. B'chol dvorecha, ma'asecha, machshvosecha, b'chol et, chashol b'libcha, ki'ilu ato omen lifnei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ushchinto Ushchinato Lecha. And all your words, actions, and thoughts, at all times, picture in your heart that you are standing in the presence of the Holy One, blessed be He, and His Shechina, His Divine Presence, therefore will be able to rest upon you. The blessed soul, this is Mr. Goodman, wishing everyone a beautiful evening to consider. Now, perhaps some will perceive these teachings by the Ramban, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, as theological, religious. But what about this, blessed souls? What if it's more than that? What if it's Torah reality? And it's like a level of physics. This energy contained in these holy words of Torah, interacting with the matter of your physical life, the life of your thought, the life of your speech, the life of your actions. So I want to wish everyone a beautiful night. That your thought patterns and your speech patterns and your action patterns interface with the Shechina through the characteristic of being humble and avoiding anger. Shalom from Crown Heights, Dunjusy Goodman.